the one who can literally say that. And I've learned a lot of things the time that I've been living in the glass house. And I wish there was time that I could share some of them with you. But this morning, I have a burden on my heart, especially for the wives of the ministers. And wives, I want to exhort you this morning, and I believe the scripture says it's given to all of us to exhort. I want to exhort you that if you can, when you are down, and you are going to be down, we're just human. And God has been so good that when I was down, Brother Glass was up. When he was down, I was up, you know, and it works out that way. But I read something that just about blew my mind. We ladies underestimate the power that we have. And we can manage to get our way even if we have to resort to tears. But as Christian women, we don't do that. No. And you know, I know women who literally just twist their husband around their little finger. And maybe it's not for good. And some wife says, well, my husband never asked me about anything. And I told one lady, I said, well, do you live in such a manner that he would want your opinion? You know, most every husband, if you're buying a home, you're buying a car, you're making a major venture, they want the wife in with them. They have to budget together. They have to be together. But I said all of this to get your attention and get to this. And I'm talking about the power that a woman has. You know, in the Garden of Eden, Satan did not go to Adam. He went to Eve. Why did he not go to the head of the family? Why did he go to Eve? He recognized that if I can get this woman, the keeper of the citadel, if I can get her, I'll have the heart and the core and the sanctity of that home. And if I got her, I've got him. And I thought that was just worth passing on to you this morning. Yeah. I've tried to remember that. And in Jesus' name, we can rebuke Satan. The little boy, somebody said, tell him to get behind you. Tell Satan to get behind you. And little Johnny said, oh, no, don't do that. He'll get me for sure. That's just funny, but that's not it. We can rebuke Satan. Yeah. We can drive him away from us. And we can keep our home in the manner that our husband will want our advice. He will want to seek us about everything. And we can keep the atmosphere such that the husband can stay up a lot of times when he tries to be down, you know. And I just wanted to pass that on to you this morning, tell you how much we love you. I'm just going to say so long, as I said, and we'll be looking forward to meeting you at different places before you go back to your respective fields. And I'm like Sister Chambers said the other night, if you don't want us, don't ask us, because when you ask us, we go. And if the rapture takes place, we've got a hope of seeing one another. And won't that be wonderful?
Yes.
When we were on the evangelistic field, we were the youngest couple on the evangelistic field for a while. And I said, I'm just not going to let this church get next to my heart. But to have a successful revival, I had to get close to the people, you know. And every time we would leave, I felt as though I'd left a part of me there. And I'm very, very sentimental. That's just my makeup. And I can't help it. And I just felt like I was torn into a million pieces. There was part of me here, there, everywhere, and all in between. And the Lord consoled me one day. But you'll get yourself all together when we make it up there. So when the rapture takes place, what you got of me, I'll get it back then, because I'll have you then.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She is a great lady. Preacher told me here not long ago, said he preached that night in their church, and he said, I felt like I just didn't preach, that's all. He said, going home, said he told his wife, he said, you know, hon, I just couldn't get started tonight. And she said, that's not the worst of it. Said you couldn't stop. And I laughed about that as you did. But I thought I've never heard anything like that. When she knows that I know that I didn't do a thing of preaching, she'll try to think of something good and bring it out before we get home and kind of pick me up. You don't know, you wives don't know, you really don't know and never will know what you actually mean to your minister, missionary husband. If he sees you the least bit discouraged and unhappy, dissatisfied, 50% of his efficiency is gone. It's gone. And you knew that you'd really try to be a strong support to him on the field. I know right here in the States, I know many pastors, their wives are just not in the ministry with them, they're not pulling with them. The poor pastor has to overcome that in the home, and sometimes a big part of the church is not pulling with him, and he's got to just struggle on. He just got to go on. It makes it so hard. And somebody is going to give an account of all of that someday. They're going to give an account of it. And, well, say praise the Lord. This is the last day, and I haven't begun to get started on what all I wanted to preach and say when I got here, and now here it is, time to go. I wish we could just spread three or four tabernacles and just stay. Look, where could you go to find anything better than this? If heaven isn't any better than school of missions, I want to go. I really want to go. If heaven's no better than this, you just don't get no closer to heaven on earth than right here. You just don't. Praise the Lord. If you'll stand with us, I'll introduce my thought to you and speak to you a few minutes. I understand that we're all loaded and ready to go, and we're going to have to be leaving St. Louis about the time you leave this sanctuary today. So let us get into the message. A few days ago, I read to you from the 6th chapter of 2 Kings about Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and his strategy against Israel. And I brought to you how the Lord is never behind. Well, I'm going to start where I left off that day. I'm not going to preach on that subject. But I read through the 12th verse in the 6th chapter. I'm going to begin reading with the 13th verse of the same chapter, 6th chapter, 2 Kings. And I'm going to read a few verses of scripture and introduce a thought from it. And he said, go, that's Ben-Hadad saying unto his men, go and spy where he is, where the man of God is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servants of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young servant, and he saw. And behold, a mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. From this passage, I'm rereading verse 16. He answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Praise the Lord. I want you, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to read that verse with me. All right, let's read. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Say more.
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 Praise the Lord.
Praise
God bless you. You may be seated. And just to review and bring this passage right up to date, if you remember, King Benadad planned his strategy for warfare, and the man of God told the king of Israel and all about the strategy, and Israel was prepared for it. Well, Benadad thought someone was telling the king, and a man told him, not so. Everything you say in your bedchamber is revealed to the prophet Elisha. Well, now we take up from there. Where is Elisha? Where is that man that knows everything I plan in my bedchamber? Well, he's over at Dothan. Well, send and get him. Well, I read to you that they got horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the prophet of God in Dothan round about. Well, at daybreak the next morning, the servant of the prophet, he saw all around Dothan was an army, a real army of Syria. They had chariots, horses, men, sent a whole army to get one prophet of God. That's really something. It makes me think of a church in Natchitoches, Brother Owens, when we opened it there, and our minister was put in jail, and I was secretary of the district, and they appropriated the money and sent me there to hire lawyers and fight it through, take it to Supreme Court if necessary, and of course we won in city court. But my lawyer proved that they had 7 policemen on force in that little city that night, and all 7 of them went to arrest 1 Pentecostal preacher. Now, Brother he specialized on that. He said, you wouldn't even have had to go out there to arrest him. If you just called him up and told him to come on in, I'm going to lock you up, he'd have come right on to your jail. But sent all the policemen in to arrest 1 preacher. Well, they sent a whole army here, a whole army, to get Elisha. Well, the servant went and told Elisha, said, we're compassed about with a whole army of men, chariots, horses, and an army. Well, the prophet of God said, what I wish I could stand, just write it in your heart, never to be erased. He said, fear not. He said to this servant, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, it didn't say that there isn't some men out there. He didn't say that. He didn't say there's not an army out there. He just said, fear not. They're there. That's all true. But they that are with us is more than they that are with them. And then he prayed. And I want you to notice this little simple thought that I'm bringing to you. That's all I ever bring. But it means so much to me. He didn't pray, oh God, send down a mighty army from heaven. Send your angels, Lord. Just send us help from heaven above. He didn't pray like that. He just said, Lord, just open his eyes and let him see. They're already there. They were already there. They just couldn't, the servant just couldn't see them. And I wish you'd just think of me. What? If God had opened my eyes like he opened that servant's eyes, what would we see around here? Now I want you to remember that. He did not pray like we pray. Oh, God, send an angel. Send help. Send. I need help, Lord. Send. He didn't pray like that. He just said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Praise the Lord. My. And the Lord answered his prayer. And he let him see. Didn't bring a thing there for him to see. Just let him see what is already there. Sometimes I wish I could see what I feel. Praise the Lord. This time when I'm preaching, I feel like angels all around me. They are. Just don't see them. I move over this way. They just move a little. Stay right with me. They're here. If you believe the word of God, angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. They that fear God has nothing else to fear, because they are compassed about with an army of angels. Praise the Lord! They that fear God have nothing else to fear. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Well, I'm going to talk a little about some things that are against you. I don't think the mission division would want you to leave the States and go to a field with a thought in your mind that you're not going to meet any opposition. Well, you know enough about the work of God and the devil to know you meet it right here at home. You aren't going to do anything for God without having to first overcome the adversary of God. The devil is not nearly as much against you as you've accepted him to be. He's against God. And when you start to do something for God, then he's against you. And it's really not you, it's God. And that's one thing that makes me want to fight him that much the harder. He's against my God. Don't care a lot about me. It's what I'm trying to do for the Lord. Praise God. And he's going to be against you. These veteran missionaries can say amen to this. He's going to be against you new missionaries establishing a place of worship wherever you go. He's going to oppose you. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from it. But I want to tell you this, all he can do cannot keep you from it. If the devil could keep us from building a church, there wouldn't be a church in the world. I tell people that are seeking the Lord for the Holy Ghost, it sure is consoling to you to walk out of the revival service and say, well, the devil kept me from it. If the devil did not Holy Ghost, there wouldn't be nobody with it. Everybody that ever received the Holy Ghost had to overcome the devil to do it. And everyone that's ever built a church, at home, abroad, or where, they had to overcome the forces of the enemy to do it. And the fact that there's one out there means you can be a one. Devil's got no more power against you than he had against somebody else. Has no more against you than God allows him to have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I'd be most disappointed in you. I'd have no faith in you as a servant of God if you could go out there and build something great for God with no opposition from the devil. It'd make me wonder if it was of God. Because everything that is of God, the devil is against it. I read this one time. Of course, it's just a little spirit of humor, but someone was driving down the road and he saw a church, and the devil was just right up on the roof of that church, sound asleep. Sound asleep. He passed another church, and the devil was right up on the roof of it, sound asleep. And the third church he came to, the devil was on the porch of that church, the steps of that church, just a raving. He just is mad. He's just a jumping up and down, and you could see he was so unhappy and dissatisfied. Well, praise God, finally found the church that the devil was disturbed about. God must have been in that church, and the Lord must not have been around the others, because the devil is asleep and satisfied. I don't want him sleeping around me. Praise the Lord. I want to keep him stirred up. You go somewhere and hold a revival. If you don't stir the devil up, you're not going to have no revival. You've got to get him all stirred up. So the devil is against you. But that's a compliment for you, that the devil's against you. Praise the Lord. I like what I read about Martin Luther. He was told, when he stepped out of the Catholic Church and declared man is justified by faith, he was told by authorities of the church, Martin Luther, if you take this stand, the world is going to be against you. And he let them know in no uncertain terms, I'm taking this stand and I'm against the world. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the devil's against me and I'm against him. And you tell him I said I'm going to win out. Praise God. And then I might add, these times are against you. We're living in the last of the last days. This day is against you. It's the days that Paul referred to as perilous times. Perilous times. So these times are against you. Then the very atmosphere is against you. The very elements, atmosphere. The devil is the prince and power of the air. And he's going to keep every prayer you pray from going through if he can. You've got to pray against the prince and powers of the air. And he's going to hear prayer from going through. Any time never gets through because you don't remember tomorrow what you prayed for today. You've just got to hold on in your request to God if you get it through. It's just not spasmodic praying with your mind on one thing and just praying and watching the clock and rolling in an hour so you can say you prayed an hour. Praying like that don't get you nowhere with God. It just don't do it. It just don't do it. Daniel, in my thinking, one of the most righteous men that ever lived on the face of the earth. You read in the book of Ezekiel, and you'll find Daniel is numbered with three of the most righteous men that ever lived. He didn't get the first day. He prayed, and he prayed the next day, and he prayed the next day, and he prayed the next day, he prayed the next day, praying for the same thing. Holding it up to God, holding it up. And after 3 weeks of praying and seeking God, the prince and powers of the air, of the elements, wouldn't let those prayers through. Daniel's guarding angel couldn't get it through. And so God deputized an archangel to go down there and assist that guarding angel and get Daniel's prayer through. And the angel let Daniel know your prayer was heard the first time you prayed. But the prince and power of air kept it from going through. But God sent an archangel to assist. Hold on, God will send some help. Don't give up praying one day. My, my, my. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's a lot against you. There's no question about it. But I'm going to take the rest of my time. I could take more here of telling you what's for you. Now, thank God. You know, we let the thoughts of that's against us get us down and won't give no thought to the things that's for us. Now, here's a very popular statement, and just as true can be. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? God is for you. I almost preached this morning, wanted to, and if I had another day or two, maybe I'd get to it. But I wanted to preach where Jesus commissioned his disciples to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he says, lo, I am with you always. I'm with you. Now, if God be with you, why do you fear anyone else in all the world? And the reason I could quote that, but the reason I turned to it, I wrote another version of this verse. And I want to read it. I wrote it in my Bible. Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed unto me. Go forth, therefore, and make all nations my disciples, baptizing them everywhere in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and be assured He didn't say low in this version. Be assured that I am with you always to the end of time. Leave this school of mission with the assurance that he's with you. Praise the Lord. That's one reason why Jesus said, it's best for you that I go away. Told his disciples, it's best for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, the Holy Ghost is here. The Lord is here in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, he can go north, south, east, and west. He can leave this school of missions with every one of us. But if he was here in person, who would he go with? I don't want him to go with me. You'd want him to go with you. Some of you would say, if you don't go, I'm not going. And that's the way I'd feel. I don't want to go nowhere he isn't there. But since he's here in the power of the Spirit.
Meeting, and I went and preached it for him.
There was a little office secretary and had some nursing experience that was working for a Jewish doctor. And she invited the doctor out to the tent revival, him and his wife, and they came. One night they were in service. I'm not going to tell you all about the service they were in. I don't have the time. But said the next day in the office, I asked the young lady. I first commended her that she must be a good saint, a good employee, that she had enough influence with her employer that she could invite them to church and they would come with her. Brother, that's a good saint. It's a good employee. There's a lot of people won't invite their employers, won't even invite those that work with the church. They're kind of ashamed of the life they're living, I suppose, the things they say and do around them. But anyway, I commended her and I said, what did the doctor have to say? She said, Brother Glass, he said for the first time to ever attend such a service, he guessed he enjoyed it. It was new to him. But he said, I heard one of the most ridiculous statements I ever heard in my life. And I'm quite sure I made it. I'm just quite sure I made it. If I didn't, I have. And you have too. And she said, that just floored me. Floored me. I didn't know what was said that was so ridiculous to him. And she said, well, doctor, what was said that sounds so ridiculous? He said, somebody said something about God a-moving. So that's the most ridiculous statement I ever heard in my life. And how many of you ever made it or ever heard it? He said, that's an absolute impossibility for God to move. She said, well, doctor, he said, well, where is he going to move to? He's already there. He's already there. He fills the heavens and the earth. So whether you feel him or not, he's there. Your feeling him can depend a lot of times on you. Praise the Lord. So he's here. He's halfway here in between. He'll be there when you get there. He's there now working in your behalf right now, opening doors, getting things all shaped up for you. Woo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is for you. And if God be for you, what have you got to worry about? God is going with you. He's not sending you. He's not sending you out to work for him. He's taking you out to work with him. Yeah. That is so exciting to me. So thrilling to me. Don't tell you to go nowhere. Don't go with you in there when you get there. Praise God. Praise God. So don't think too much about the things that are against you. Think about all that's for you. It wouldn't be bad for you to ever keep in mind those churches and saints that are so behind you until they take you as a partner in missions. They finance you. They feed you. They clothe you. And not only that, but they pray more for you than they do for me. They pray more for you than they do for Brother Rodenbush. I don't suppose there is a people on earth or people in our church that's prayed for more than our missionaries. They may not know you by name. If they know you by name, they'll call your name. But they don't know many of you by name and never will meet you. But you hear them pray for our missionaries. Many, many times when prayer request is being made in churches, if the pastor don't mention it, invariably some one of the members will mention. Pray, remember our missionaries. Remember our missionaries. All of that's in your favor. Praise God. Praise the Lord. That's for you. More are they that be with us than they that be against us. More. And I have said this to sinners sitting in an audience. If you would actually put it to a vote in all of your acquaintances and let all of your acquaintances decide whether or not you would live for God, I guarantee you the majority of your acquaintances would vote for you serving God. And you letting the devil make you believe that everybody in the world would be against you. That's a trick of the devil. It's a trick of the devil. I remember before I grew up in Pentecost. You hear about the great state of Louisiana, and it's a great state. It's a great district. There's over 500 ministers there, upward around 300 churches. And the large tabernacle is so packed out every night last year. They're tearing it apart and building it larger. Great, great district. My mother helped in the first revival meeting that is ever conducted in Louisiana. Some of you have heard about the Elton Bible School, where the ministers of Louisiana came together and called Brother Goss down and studied water baptism in Jesus' name for a number of days and then were baptized. My mother led the singing of that Bible conference. She's one of the first women in Louisiana baptized in Jesus' name. So I grew up in this great church. And I have every reason in all the world to believe that there's more for us serving God than they are against us. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't mean it's been an easy road, and it'll not be easy. But I'd like for you to know this. Those sinners out there traveling the road that leads to hell, it's not an easy road. The devil makes people believe that all you have to do to have a good time, things to go easy and get rich and have all the bills paid is get out in the world. No, you're going to have more bills out there that you can't pay.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. And I believe this with all of my heart. I believe this. You read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I call it the March of the Conquerors. And that last verse, these last few verses, these all obtained a good report by faith, never receiving the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Then the next chapter starts, sin. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, I know a lot of people say that cloud of witnesses is the world out here. No. That cloud of witnesses that's encompassed round about you today is those men that lived in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. They're out there in the grandstand right now watching the battle you're in, watching your trial of faith, watching your struggle. And if they could, they'd cry out, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, you can make it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just let one of them speak to us. Just let one of them. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I like this next portion. I like this. Esteeming, not low-rating, esteeming the reproaches of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Now, it'd be very easy for me to get up here and say, I esteem the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the riches of this world. I don't have no choice, riches of this world, but Moses had the choice. Brother, the treasures of Egypt was in his grasp. The throne of Egypt was his. The wealth and power of Egypt was his. But he said he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches. Oh, my. Makes me say, reproaches, come on, come on. If that's spiritual wealth, I want to be rich when I get to glory. Come on, reproaches, come on, come on. For Christ's sake. If you're reproached for Christ's sake, there's good pay in that. But if you're reproached for some of your own mistakes, there's nothing involved. But if it's for Christ's sake, oh, brother. My. Now, what I'm about to mention now convicts me. Really does. Abraham was 75 years of age. I'm not quite that old yet. Not far behind it, but I'm not quite that old. God spoke to him when he was living in security. He was secure, living in the land of his people where he grew up. And God spoke to him, and he didn't say go to Liberia. He didn't say go to Asia, go to London, go to Costa Rica. God told that old man, 75 years of age, just follow me. I'll tell you where you're going. I'll lead you where you don't know where you need. If you'd ask Abraham when he packed up and got ready to leave, where are you going? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just a following the Lord. Woo! He
He's out there in the grandstand telling you, come on, God will take care of you over there. He's encompassed round about this cloud of witnesses. There's more for you than they are against you. Ooh. How many of you feel that way? I want you to promise yourself you're not going to let the devil talk to you. Don't give your ear and your time to that liar. If you're going to meditate on anything, you meditate on all that's pulling for you. All there is for you. Praise God. If you keep your mind on that, you'll accomplish that which you desire to accomplish. But if you give all of your time to the things that are against you, you're going to have a sad time, a hard time, and meet a lot of discouragement, and not going to accomplish nothing like what you would if you keep your mind on all that there is for you. Say praise the Lord. Let's stand. Let's stand. Bush can tell them for me. I want to thank them for permitting me to come and enjoy you. You see, I couldn't have come without an invitation from them. They were so kind to extend to us an invitation to come, and it's been some of the most glorious moments I've ever lived. And tell you the truth, I don't ever expect to enjoy anything in this life any more than I do the School of Missions. Just a heavenly place to be. Thank you.